This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab is brought to you by GoNetSpeed, your choice for crazy fast fiber internet. This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnon. He's one of the engineers at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC. WTIC or 522-WTIC. We will be having Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV on at the 10 o'clock hour, and we're excited to have Wes on every now and
yeah.
Again. Talk about how you can become a geek, how you can get into technology with some training from IT Pro TV from your own computer.
The door is open.
It's really an amazing approach to instruction, so he'll be talking about that after the 10 o'clock hour. But as usual and customary, well, let me remind you, the 9 o'clock hour is a lot easier to get online, so 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, give Justin something to do, answer the phones. And as we wait, we'll do our normal usual and customary technology news. What do you got going on?
What I've got going on involves everybody's favorite car company.
Yeah.
Tesla.
Oh, what are they doing or not
well,
doing?
Well, it looks like yesterday they had a tiny little problem.
Oh, really?
How very it, tiny.
Minor. Like
really
the,
minor.
You couldn't change the volume on the radio or something? That kind of minor?
No.
Oh, like you, maybe you couldn't. The windshield wipers stopped working?
No, not like that.
So
it's
how minor was
you
it?
Couldn't unlock your car and drive it.
Oh, that doesn't sound minor.
Oh, well, okay. I have a BBC News article about an outage to their smartphone app.
Yeah.
That controls the car and all those functions, including getting in.
Yep, and allowing you to turn it on.
Right. So, you know, people were complaining on Twitter, and Elon Musk actually found that out, and he posted a tweet saying, checking into it.
Yeah, very nice, Elon.
And, you know, they fixed it, but, you know, this is something that we talk about all the time. They're a company that pushes the envelope of what they can do.
Right.
And they've got an app here that people are depending on.
Right.
And it's got to be up and running 100% of the time.
Right. Otherwise, as you saw in some of these Twitter posts, I'm an hour away from home and I can't get my car to start. Oh, Todd.
Well, the question I have
is... That's Dr. Todd to you.
The question I have is, why don't these people have their like their key fobs or whatever else they can use to get into the car and drive it?
Right.
They're depending on the smartphone app.
It's ridiculous.
And it's because the company promises them that they can use it and they can rely on it. Well, you can't.
No.
It's like anything in the cloud, people.
Yes. If your car is not talking to the cloud and you can't start your car, you should really start thinking about what are you doing? You know, you really deserve to sit there for an hour and wait for Elon to kick the servers on again.
And And all you had to do was to keep your fob in your pocket.
Right, but fobs, that's so 1999.
Yeah, we can't be bothered with that. Elon told us that we can always unlock our car through the smartphone app.
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh. And people do the same thing with pay apps, right? You've connected your smartphone or your smartwatch to a credit card, but of course if your internet connection goes down and you're sitting there at the restaurant and your watch isn't connected all of a sudden, you're going to be doing dishes. You can't dine and dash anymore.
What? No?
You shouldn't be. So, I mean, guys, you need to keep some actual plastic on you, maybe a couple of paper bills every now and again.
Well, I was going to say, how about a little bit of actual cash, too? Why not?
Not just, again, sounds so old-fashioned, Dennis.
This is a basic IT principle. You've got to have your backup.
Yes. Now, anybody who actually owns a Tesla who's in IT has a fob.
Oh, I guarantee it.
They were not going to be stuck the way those of you who just believe it's going to last forever. So interesting. We'll put that story up there for you. If you're a Tesla user, you probably already know that happened to you. Cryptocurrency. My favorite topic, cryptocurrency's climate impact. What's really being done about it? So the story here talks about the cost in energy of cryptocurrency mining. Crypto miners hungry for hashtags are generating enough emissions to single-handedly increase global warming.
Really?
Yes. So, whether you believe in global warming or not, I'm not even going to discuss that. This article says it's doing it. Okay. And I'm appealing to those young folks out there who thinks crypto is the way to go. If you care about the planet, stop investing in cryptocurrency. It's fake money. So, in fact, coal and gas-powered energy generation plants are reopening around the world.
Oh.
For example, in Seneca, New York, a private investment firm converted a previously shuttered coal facility. Wait a minute. Now, isn't that going to blow over to Connecticut?
Wait.
I thought we had a deal here.
Yeah. I mean, do we really want more coal being burned?
Yeah, I guess so. They're gonna convert that over to a natural gas. It was converted to natural gas. It was shuttered in 17. It's going to go ahead and now fire it back up. Because it didn't want to deal with any kind of shortages of power. So it's going to operate thousands of supercomputers to do Bitcoin mining operations at the facility. So they're firing up fossil fuel plants to run computers to mine cryptocurrency. And if you want to understand this a little better, if you ever watch your computer kick on and the fan starts really running high when you start doing some sort of mathematical calculation or video work or whatever you're doing, if the fan kicks on, you can hear your computer kind of saying, oh, I got to cool it now.
Yeah.
Crypto mining is a 24/7 operation of that high intensity of dealing with the blockchain.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically, it produces enough. It uses enough energy to be as much as all the data centers in the world. So we're using data centers all over the world to run Amazon, Netflix, Google, Microsoft.
Yeah.
Now crypto mining is becoming as large
as that entire industry.
Correct.
Holy mackerel!
You cannot care about the planet and say you want cryptocurrency. Now, as a libertarian. Again, I love the idea of cryptocurrency, right?
Sure.
Having, the government out of your business. I mean, you got our government looking at possibly everybody's bank accounts if they have $600 in it. Well, you know what? You can't look at my crypto wallet.
No.
So.
Well.
No, you can't. It's encrypted. You don't know how much I got in there.
Well, I've
got zero because that'd be pretty ridiculous of me if I had any in there. I have nothing.
Well, haven't we had reports of the FBI stealing crypto back from ransomware operators?
We have. So I got a feeling they had something to do with fingernails and things under their fingernails to make them get the password.
They had some kind of inside data.
Yeah, but otherwise it's encrypted, right? So you don't know how much I've got in there.
Right.
I appreciate that thought, but it's 150,000 times, and not using that number sillily, it is true, less efficient than using your dollar bill at a Dunkin' Donuts. So if you care at all about the planet, I'm pleading to you on that side of the equation.
Yeah.
Do not get involved in cryptocurrency. So I'll put the link up here. You can read it yourself from this guy over here, Samuel Greengard. He talks about this and, take it for what it's worth.
Ooh.
If you care about the future, if you care about the children.
Don't we all?
I don't know. That usually works for everything else. So
right. And, other problem with cryptocurrency is it's fueling all those ransomware operations.
Oh, that's the main reason I hate it. I mean, if it didn't do that, if it was more traceable, if they did have regulation on it, so you but again, that defeats the purpose of the libertarian idea.
Correct.
Right? So
correct.
It's fighting back and forth, but it is the bane of our existence in our world. Ransomware and crypto and being ransom for your data is all based on because of you can get paid with crypto.
Right.
So what else you got there, Dennis?
Well, I've got a bunch of hoax emails that went out of an FBI email server.
Wait a minute.
FBI!
Oh, no. The FBI has done a great job in the recent history of helping folks with what's going on out there. What did they do here?
Yeah, and they went and very helpfully cleaned up a whole bunch of people's exchange servers.
Yes, they did.
You know?
Yeah, we were very happy about that.
What happened here was that somebody got a hold of an outward-facing email server.
Right, that the FBI runs.
And guess what?
Mm.
It was misconfigured.
Oh, man.
So and it allowed them in, and it allowed them control. I've got an article here by Brian Krebs about how the whole thing went down.
Right.
And the way it began was that he got one of these hoax emails.
Right.
So he found out about it right from the start. He knew something was fishy.
Yep.
And he looked into it, and he explains exactly what happened.
Right.
And, you know, the FBI apologized later, but
right. They also said, hey, make sure you don't open any emails from folks you don't know. Well, we know you, and it's a legitimate URL. It's from you.
Right. It was actually from their domain.
Right.
And everything about it would
was
have been would have checked out, too. I mean, all of the companies that check email are going to look. They're going to backtrack that email, and it's at every step, it's completely valid.
Right.
So those went right through to everybody that got them.
The problem is, most likely, if I had to guess, the analysts who do all the great cybersecurity work for the FBI are not the ones slapping up the website.
Correct.
You got some ding-dong that you've got third-party, low bidder, who knows who.
Right. They probably had a contractor doing it,
right.
Not their own specialists.
Right. So you've got some third world owned IT company probably spinning up your website. And this is again with, or if so I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that could have happened. If it was your actual cyber folks, shame on you guys.
Oh yeah.
You guys are better than that. You are better than that. So we don't know exactly. Brian doesn't get that information. The beauty of this hoax email though was that the bad guy was actually just kind of playing with it. He wasn't going to take on the FBI, right? He actually kind of sent out a goofy email.
Right.
You knew it was kind of goofy right away.
Yeah, the first line in it is, hi, it's Pom Pom Purin, some kind of, you know, weird handle that he made up.
Yeah.
So right there, out of the third word in the whole message is telling you that it's not valid.
Correct. So he's kind of like saying, hey, FBI, you got a problem.
Yeah.
All the while, he's like, I'm not going to get on these guys' bad side. Of course, he just has now. I mean, I'm sure they know where he is, and they got a drone pointed right at his house. But
I don't want to be him right now.
No, but it's interesting. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, guys. Feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. Everything we've talked about will be posted over at computertalkwithtab.com, and we have two lines open for you. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. It's kind of cold out there. You can cuddle up with your computer, and if it's crypto mining, you know it's really putting on some heat.
Oh, yeah. That'll warm you right up.
But let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go right to Mike in the car first. What's happening, Mike?
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Thanks for being out there. I'm learning a lot from you all the time, and I appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Following up on a little conversation you had last week about the I don't know if they're smart TVs or whatever, but you had mentioned Vizio by brand, and the data collection, information collecting that they're doing, and the fact that as a publicly traded company, they're reporting more revenue from their data streams than they are the sale of their products.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
And I was just I asked kind of a two-pronged question, and I would hang up and listen to your answer. I just thought it was fascinating. First part of the question is, how do they monetize that, and how do they gain that revenue? And I would assume other similar companies are doing that. And does this same thing happen regardless of whether it's something that's hardwired in the home or wireless?
Oh.
So that's the first part of the question. Then secondly, I assume the same is true of the phone I'm on.
Yes, sir.
That, yes.
The companies may be, in fact, creating more revenue from the sale of information. Mm-hmm. So who are they? How do they monetize it? Who are they selling it to? And I guess even a third part is, because you guys often get into a little bit of the political weeds, mm-hmm. Do these private or publicly traded companies sell basically what is consumer information to the government for whatever purposes?
Mm. Yeah.
And is the government a purchaser of this data? And sure. I'd hang up and listen, and yeah. I do appreciate the expansion on the topic, if you could.
Yeah, sure. We're happy to.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a great day. Thanks
you too.
For being there again. Bye-bye.
Yeah, our pleasure. So basically, you know, his question is this, you know, is the data collection happening wired or wirelessly? The answer is yes, both.
Yes, both.
You're connected to the internets. They're collecting everything, whether it be location. Whether it be where you're frequently, who you're hanging out with, where you're buying stuff, you know, your phone knows you went to the Home Depot.
Right.
Your credit card knows you bought something at Home Depot.
Right.
All this is called metadata, mm-hmm. right? That's why Facebook changed their company name to Meta. For some reason, they think that's better than Facebook. I mean, Facebook is.
Yeah, I don't know. But hey, I'm not a marketing guy, so right. What do I know?
But they're selling your metadata, and this data is being sold to all sorts of companies who want to know about you. They want to,
yes.
since your phone and everything about you already knows your age, your probably your gender, probably your affiliation of whatever your political affiliation is, because they know where you've been surfing, where you've been they know everything.
Yes.
Every time you sign up for any service that they give you for free, you're the commodity. Mm-hmm. It's free because you're the commodity. They're selling yes. everything about you. In the old days, they had to have you do these surveys. They had to have you fill out. You had to volunteer the information. Mm-hmm. Now they say, here's a phone. Go be you.
Right.
And we know everything about
we
you.
We know everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As far as the government paying for it, I would contend the government's got some sort of investment in these companies.
Yeah, they might.
And they're getting something back getting the information from places like Facebook and Twitter and what
have
you.
Well, they did invest in Palantir, I believe.
What is Palantir?
That's one of the companies that they're an AI company and they aggregate data.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think that it's owned or partly owned by Peter Thiel.
I don't know that either.
Oh,
yeah. I have to look this up, Dennis.
Yeah,
but yes.
And then there's Intelius and a bunch of others too.
Gotcha. But the point is, the data's out there. You've given it away every time you signed up for an app that was free. You know, even your little, you know, your recipe app. It probably wants to know your location. You're going to ask yourself why. I told you guys about my dehumidifier. It wants to know my location. So when I bring up the app, it says "Welcome home." I know I'm home.
Really?
I don't need my dehumidifier made in Taiwan to tell me I'm home. Why do they know?
Yeah.
So again, you got to turn off that location stuff. But everything you've got is tracking you these days. Whether
Absolutely.
You're surfing, your phone, you know, heck, if you're driving a Tesla, Elon knows where you are.
Oh, he does.
So it's all there, and we've agreed to it because when you click on the EULA, that you say yes, I agree to
all
this.
Yeah, the 20,000 pages of legalese. Yeah.
Right. We'll be right back, guys. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Every time I think about the government collecting data, I just think about that theme in the background. Captain America.
Ooh.
But we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, guys. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we put the links up there, that Palantine company.
Palantir.
Tier company.
Yes.
A big data company, been around since 2003, Dennis was referencing. And they just... They take your data, whatever data it might be, public data you were saying.
Well, they do public data. They also gather data in other places and they resell it. And they also resell their algorithms to other companies that are interested in doing their own analysis of data.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a big operation over there.
All right. So let's get to your calls. Nice enough to join us this morning. We're going to go to Ansonia next and Jerry. What's happening, Jerry?
Good morning.
Morning.
Considering replacing my printer,
all right.
I have an iPhone and I have a MacBook Air, and I'd like to ask your opinion on what is a good investment for me.
Well, what kind of printing do you do, Jerry?
Just basic, like bills that I want to reproduce or airline reservations.
Okay. So believe it or not, the EcoSmart line of Epson printers has an amazing inkjet-style printer that very cost-effectively can be a printer for a long time.
Yeah, those are really nice machines. I know a couple people that have them. They like them.
Yeah. How about one that has a toner and a...
Yeah, laser's good, too.
And honestly, a black and white laser jet, not necessarily HP, but you know, any kind of a laser,
any kind,
maybe what you want, because maybe you don't need to print in color all the time.
And who wants to print your bills color?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't print it all in color.
Well, all right, there you go.
There we go.
Get yourself a relatively inexpensive laser printer.
Yeah,
and it will be cost effective. The only thing that I'm going to warn you about is when you buy it, it's going to come with a quote-unquote starter cartridge,
yeah,
which will probably only print a couple hundred pages, and you're going to be stumped for a toner cartridge, you know, maybe a couple months from now, and that means when you buy the printer, buy a matching toner cartridge,
right,
so that you've got it when that starter cartridge dies.
And don't change it until it actually dies.
Right.
The printer
will
complain way too early.
Well, go ahead and keep printing as long as you're able to print with that original cartridge. It's just that they don't last very long. And I know so many people, they get a printer, they start using it, and as soon as they really feel comfortable with it, suddenly they got to go out and get a toner cartridge. Mm-hmm. You may as well just buy them together.
Yep.
Well, how about the Brother? It's called Laser, HL2395.
How much is it?
Well, it's $199 at Amazon today.
Okay. It's not a bad price for a laser.
That should be good. A lot of IT guys are not fans of Brother.
Right.
And in a business setting, they're not the best.
Right.
But I do like them. I have a Brother laser. It's a color laser at home, and I love it.
There you go.
And they're very nice. Those are cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
The toner cartridges aren't going to set you back too much.
So, Jerry, now here's the big $50,000 question. Did the internet reach out to you and say, Jerry, you need a printer today, or were you actually looking?
Oh, I was actually looking.
Okay, cool.
Good.
Isn't that weird? I mean, isn't it weird how you just walk around and all of a sudden a printer ad hits you right in the face? You're like, did I talk about that out loud?
I ignore those things. But Amazon's charging $76 for a toner.
Well, double check around to see if that's a good price. You can't trust Amazon for pricing. Never can.
So. Yeah, shop around.
So if you don't like the Brother particularly, what would be the other manufacturer?
Oh, I think Brother is good for a home.
Yeah, but the other...
it's a very good option.
The alternative would be HP. If you want to find a $200 HP laser, that'd be the other alternative.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Jerry.
You guys, you've been very helpful.
All right, good luck.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, so she's going to print her bills in laser and quality. I love it.
Nice.
Let's go to Steve in Woodbury next. What's happening, Steve?
Hi, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I've got an external piece of equipment with an Ethernet interface that I'm trying to hook up to my computer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get the interface to work. I'm not sure if it's a software issue or a hardware issue. The computer I'm using is an HP Slimline. It's an i7 processor with 8 gig of memory.
Mm-hmm. But you're not, Steve, you're not connecting it directly from Ethernet port to Ethernet port, are you?
Well, no, that's not what I'm doing.
Is there a switch in the middle?
Excuse me?
Is there a switch in the middle?
Yes.
Good.
Absolutely. That was what I was worried about, but great.
I've got an unmanaged switch.
Okay.
Okay.
I've got the equipment hooked up to the switch and the computer's hooked up to the switch.
They're both
hooked up. And there's also my internet connection is hooked up through the switch also. So they're basically one input and two outputs for the switch.
What's the IP address of the thing you're connecting, that piece of equipment? Do you know?
Let's see. It's 192.168.1.100.
All right. And what's the IP address of your machine?
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about. I'm not entirely sure I've got that set properly. Where would I find that?
You can open up Control Panel on your computer or the Settings app.
Yeah, I've got Control Panel.
All right, that's good. You're a man after my heart because I love Control Panel. then you open up Network and Sharing Center.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I've got
all right. And over on the left, you'll see a couple of options. One of them is change adapter settings.
Okay.
You're going to click on that.
Yep.
And then you're going to double click on your Ethernet connection. It might just say LAN connection or something like that. I'm not sure what the label is that you'll mm-hmm. see,
yeah.
but it will be that connection.
Okay, I've got that.
All right, double click that.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll get a small window and you'll see a details button. Click that.
Okay.
Now, one of the pieces of information in there will be IPv4 address. You're going to want to take that down.
Okay.
So what is
not,
that?
Not take it down. Write,
well, write
it down.
Sorry. To be clear.
I understand what you mean.
All right. The other way to do that quickly is just to go to do a CMD in the search box and type in ipconfig. Dennis told you the control panel way, which is a good thing to know.
Right.
But ipconfig within a command prompt will also give you what your IP address is. What we're looking for is to make sure that you're in a 192.168.1.network as well.
Right.
If you're in a different network, like if you're a 65.32.12.10, which is a ridiculous IP scheme.
Then your devices wouldn't be talking to each other.
Right. You want to be in the same scheme. So all three octets have to be part of the right scheme.
Okay. All right, well, the IPv4 address is 10.0.0.8.
Yeah, that's why you can't talk to
it. You're on a different network.
So what you have to do is give your device a 10.0.0.30. Give it a 30.
Yeah.
And now you'll be able to see it.
All right, so let me edit this. So I've got to change with the 192 address to 10.0.0.something?
Correct. Other than the 8. Don't give it the 8, then you're going to have what's called an IP conflict. You can't have two devices that are on the same address.
All right, hold on one second. This takes a second.
Oh, what, you don't trust it? You don't think we're right? You're going to hold it. You're going to be like, all right.
I think he's actually
doing it right
the change.
Now.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
I'm looking at the equipment right now. Hold on a second. Uh-huh. That didn't work.
So we'll put you on. Why don't we put you on hold?
Oh, okay. Hold on a second. I think I've got it. I changed it to 10.0.0.3. Would that work?
It might, as long as nothing else on your network has that address.
3, yeah.
All right. So you think maybe a larger number would be better?
Yeah, I would go up. Yeah, 30 or more, I would think.
Okay, I put in 30. 10.0.0.30.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now you should be able to see it. However you're communicating with it, is it a software program you're going to communicate? What kind of device is this?
It's a software program. The manufacturer is software.
Okay.
All right. So you should be able to click on the manufacturer's software. It should be able to go out and find this device. Now, it may need to be told what address it's at.
Yes.
Some software is smart enough to find things. Some software is not, and it needs to be told where the thing is. And you put it on 30. The other thing you're going to have to mess with, Steve, because we've caused a problem for you now, is that you have what's called in your network a DHCP server. That server is handing out addresses on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, it could try to hand out 30.
Yes.
And it could hand out 30 to you, and now you have an IP conflict. So what you need to do is set up DHCP address reserves so that it starts handing out addresses after 30. So the next address it'll hand out is 31, and that mm-hmm. way you'll know 30 will never be impacted by the DHCP server. Now, you could roll the dice, and for the next 3 or 4 years, it may not ever happen to you.
You may never run into it. Absolutely, you might not.
But I'm not using any kind of a server.
You are. Something in your network is giving you the address of 10.0.0. Whatever you had.
Possibly your router or firewall, or even you might have a modem that's doing everything.
Right.
And that might be giving it out.
Okay.
Yes, you have a server in there somewhere.
Now, I've still got the same error message.
What is the message?
Well, it's given me a bunch of different errors, but the primary error is that the IP address host name is not correct.
Okay, host name, right? So this could be from a file within your system. Oh. Go type in CMD in the lower, and you're running Windows 10, I assume?
Yeah.
So type in CMD. You're going to get to a command prompt. And from the command prompt, type in ping, P-I-N-G, space.
Ping.
Yeah, space, the address you just gave that device, 10.0.0.30.
Is there a space?
Ping space, yeah. 10.0.0.30 and then hit enter.
0.30. Okay.
Did it reply?
Yeah, ping 10.0.0.30 with 32 bytes of data.
Okay, so it is out there and is responding.
It's talking back.
So your software is misconfigured now.
Yes.
Your software is looking for it somewhere else. You got to tell the software where it is.
Uh-huh.
It's that host. Could be a host file that is within the software.
Or the device has a host name that it's broadcasting, and maybe something's wrong with that.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I think I know where the problem with that change needs to happen. Just give me one second.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to be doing with this thing? Is it a space shuttle? What is this thing?
It's a communications receiver that's, basically a computer.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Now, am I putting in 10.0.0.8 in the...
No, you have 8.
No, your computer has 8.
So I've got to make that a 30.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see if that works.
I think you're getting onto something here, Steve.
Let's see what...
But this is how networking works, folks. You're trying to communicate with two devices. You have to have addresses, IP addresses. This is how the internets work. This is how everything works. It's all by address.
Yes.
And the packets need to know where to go. And if you're on a different network, different IP scheme, the packets don't know where to find the thing you're talking to.
Right. They don't know how to get to where they need to go.
Yeah, I'm not... the error message hasn't come up yet, but it's giving me a not responding message.
Well, we pinged it. We know it's responding. So it's in your software. You have to tell it where it is because you pinged it and it responded, right?
Okay, so it's something to do with the company software. I have to get configured correctly.
Yep.
Yeah,
what you got to do is RTFM, as we call it. Read the flipping manual. There's something in there that tells you where to find that and how to set up that IP address that you've just set statically.
Okay.
You're on your way, I promise you.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
You're at least halfway there now.
Problems for me because I wasn't sure if I had the thing wired up correctly even at this point.
Right. Yeah, you don't know where to start when you're dealing with network issues. Well, this is exactly what we deal with every day.
Yeah, we do it all the time.
So, you're on the right track, Steve. Call us back. We're here till 11.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. We're going to let Steve go. He's going to read the manual. It's usually where it is, and we're going to get to your calls. We're going to step out for a quick break. So, Chuck, hang on. We're going to get to your call after the break here. And then, of course, you've got three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And then coming up at 10, just after the news, Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV will join us. And he'll tell you how you can get trained up in IT. And we need you.
Yes, you want to work in IT.
It's amazing that in all these years, we haven't been more flooded with people interested in the IT field because there's jobs aplenty.
Yeah.
But everyone seems to be like, oh, I'm IT. I'm not IT savvy. I'm not IT literate. Well, IT Pro TV can help with that.
Well, how do you think guys like us figured all that stuff out?
I don't know, man.
I mean, we weren't born tech savvy any more than you were. So, hey.
Most IT people do tend to be logic savvy. But even that's kind of gone out the window now because logic doesn't matter anymore. It's running, it's running Windows.
Sadly.
Yeah. So let's get back to your calls. We're going to go to Chuck and see what's going on with Chuck. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm involved on a volunteer basis with a local municipality, and we tried to purchase ransomware insurance.
You tried, and they wouldn't sell it to you?
They would not sell it to us. They turned us down. They apparently said that we are missing some software or something, and I'm wondering, am I hearing baloney, or is that...
No, so it's real. So basically, when it comes to ransomware insurance, they're getting their lunch handed to them. They're getting destroyed.
Yes.
People are... I mean, we've seen examples of companies that we've picked up as new clients who have been hit with $90,000 ransoms that they had to then negotiate down to $70,000 ransoms. And thanks to the fact that they had cyber insurance, it didn't come out of their pocket. Even the remediation of the issue didn't come out of their pocket. Even getting the crypto folks involved to figure out, who forensically attacked them was all covered by the insurance. But it would have cost them probably hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Sure.
Now, if you're not putting in proper technologies to reduce the chance of your being hit. It's kind of like, you know, if you're, you know, drunk driver all the time, you know, they're not going to give you insurance for your car, right? So the technologies that are out there that these insurance companies are requiring, some of them are crazy draconian things.
Yes.
We've seen people say, well, you can't have cyber insurance because you run an exchange server. And then the client says, well, I'm going to go to some other cyber insurance provider.
Yeah.
But in many cases, they want you to have security awareness training active. Right. This is a tool so that your people in your town get trained up on the things to look for when it comes to cyber attacks and false emails and trickery in, within their emails. They want you to have two-factor authentication active. They want you to have some sort of next-gen antivirus, EDR, MDR technology, which is going to actively stop an attack in its tracks. They're going to want you to have a proper backup that allows you as an entity to recover from an attack whereby you're not down for weeks as a town, right? So your server has to have good disaster recovery backup. So you could check with a different insurance source, Chuck, or reach out to companies like TAB, and they'll tell you what you're missing.
Right, and they can help you get to where you can buy it.
Here's my second question.
Yeah.
Right on that theme.
Yeah.
So we've had a company.
Yeah.
How come they didn't catch this before the insurance company caught it?
It's all happening right now.
Yes.
We are getting deluged as a company as well, where our clients are saying, oh my gosh, our insurance firm won't renew us. I need to get this, 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 and this all at the same time.
Yes. Everybody is learning more and more all at once.
And companies like us had offered these technologies, but of course they didn't want to write the check until the insurance company says, well, now you got to write the check. Now you got to wear your seatbelt. So I hope that helps you, Chuck. We're coming up against the break here.
I know. Okay.
We can hold you over if you want to talk more about it.
No, this is good.
All right.
I got enough.
All right.
I don't want to fire the company.
Right, we'll be right back.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.